Chapter 10. Migration. 999.M30. The Iron Blood, Gugen System, Saktrada Deeps. Perturabo stood alone in the middle of the featureless iron sphere of the Strategium Minoris that opened high up on the wall of the command deck. There was a podium at the center, railed around by simple steel. From his position, he could observe everything that happened on the multi-storied bridge. Tiers of servitor choirs banked high around the shipmaster's dais, as if it were an audience at an amphitheater with their backs to the stage. The shipmaster was a small thing from so far away, embedded in the fabric of the ship at the center of the dais. The great hololithic displays turning in the airy voids of the deck were at Perturabo's command. If he chose, he could scrutinize the efforts of the transmechanics as they tended to the Iron Blood's machinery, or oversee his legionaries pacing the decks in full armor, or attending to the tasks of long-range destruction at the weapons banks. But he looked on none of it. Perturabo's ice-blue eyes stared into a distance only he could apprehend. To the casual observer, he would appear to be struck dumb or paralyzed with indecision. Multiple data streams fed directly into his cerebral cortex by the input cables adorning his skull. 100 vox streams played through his mind from his ships, many carrying the screams of his men. Screams were unimportant to him. He concentrated on the data screed pouring through his consciousness, 1,000 viewpoints of the battle in every conceivable form. He picked apart the information, rendering it down to its rawest form. Life and death were reduced to numbers. There was no space for equivocal variables. The integers of existence danced through the halls of his mind. Victory was a 1, defeat a 0. These were the only two results he cared for. His men died for their determination. Via his connections, he lived the death of ships. An escort was caught in an entropy beam, all matter within the compass of its temporal field forced into an unvarying baseline heat state. Atoms dispersed. With the radioactive rush of fleeing neutrons, the craft collapsed, leaving behind it a brief window into the death of the universe. Pain afflicted him as the animal parts of his mind assigned sensation to the information received. Perturabo bathed in agony, but he locked it away. His prodigious intellect swept through the battle, directing his ships with flair while his soul burned under a million different stimuli. There was no viewport, of course. The front portion of the command deck was panelled by blank slabs of plasteel armour, stamped with the grinning skull badge of his legion. Hololithic displays showed a true Pict feed of Gugan and the war around it, for the benefit of his men. The 125th Expeditionary Fleet was arrayed about the Harud world, committed to a preliminary bombardment before an assault on the prime Harud Warren. Every day more Harud arrived in the system. Most passed through, but some remained to reinforce their capital world. Harud ships hung in a petalled defensive arrangement directly over the underground city. Their ships were indistinct smears, nearly invisible behind their layers of shifting time fields. Solid munitions impacted these temporal wavefronts, vanishing as bright bursts of annihilated matter. Only lasbeams and nova shells, the latter detonated close by the ships to avoid their simpler brethren's fate, seemed to penetrate the Harud's esoteric shielding. Several Xenos vessels drifted lifelessly, fires burning weirdly fast in their failing entropic fields. The others were implacable. Like time itself, the vessels were an enemy that could not be overcome. From their flaring weapons blisters came temporal rays that enveloped the ships of the Iron Warriors and spirited them forwards in time to the death of all things. The stasis tactic had worked well. Too well. Things had changed. The Harud had been provoked into flight, and they were countering even as they ran. Perturabo's servants went about their work with the cold efficiency characteristic of his legion. However, they did not have the ruthless certainty of their lord, and their eyes strayed with concern to the casualty count. They were distracted by the bright lightning flashes of ship death. The iron blood trembled to the ceaseless discharge of macro-cannon batteries. Winking explosions peppered the surface of the planet, spreading concentric rings of fire through its thin atmosphere. The wrath of the Fourth Legion did not seem to be enough to steady the Space Marines. In the hearts and minds of the ruthless siege masters, the fear of defeat once again raised its ugly head. Perturabo saw none of this. His thoughts were turned ever inwards into the four-dimensional construct his brain had fashioned from battle inputs. Less than real, it nevertheless dispensed with distractions such as the life and the death of men under his command. War was an equation whose total sum was of no consequence as long as it remained above zero. Anything over that denoted victory, and he would have it at any cost. His crew were a distraction also. Though they toiled and shouted from their gunnery command pits and servitor arrays, where he could, the Primarch bypassed his deck officers and their tiers of authority, instead sending his orders directly via hardline to the gun team captains or the engine seers of the Enginarium. Sometimes he cut even them out of the process and directed individual servitors himself. The crews of Iron Warrior's warships were smaller than those of other legions. All unnecessary hierarchy had been stripped out of their organization. Where possible, the Lord of Iron avoided the use of purely human crew, preferring instead to rely on his own legionaries, with menial tasks taken up by the cyborg dead. Not for him the duplication in duty of legate and admiral, or captain and shipmaster. His warsmiths were the backbone of his legion and his fleet. It enabled him to manage everything himself, the way he liked.
As above, so below, he said through gritted teeth.
His mind moved impossibly quickly, faster than the finest mechanicum cogitator array. It was not fast enough. Were it not for his profoundly stubborn nature, Perturabo would also have admitted that there were simply too many of the Harad to deal with. Defeat stared him in the face. He refused to acknowledge it. They came in swarms from the worlds of the Saktrada deeps, not only from Gugan, but all the other planets in that strange cluster. There were no measurable communications between the Xenos worlds, nothing to indicate that they shared information at all. But shortly after the use of the temporal bomb on Gugan, the Harad had begun to move en masse. At first, Perturabo had taken their panic as the first signs of victory. He anticipated the campaign's end by wiping out the Xenos as they ran. It was not to be so. Billions of Harad were passing through the Primarch's position in their rout from the sector. The Iron Warriors were being overwhelmed. First came the foray parties, projected through time and space upon the tips of focused spears of temporal energy. Many of these had attempted to stow away on the 125th Expeditionary Fleet ships, as was the Harad's racial habit. Cannily, they targeted the vessels of the Legion's penal auxiliaries. But the Xenos were no safer from persecution there than aboard Space Marine vessels. Hourly purgation teams swept the decks of Perturabo's fleet, seeking out infestations that had slipped the bonds of reality to take up residence in out-of-the-way corners. The migration ships came next, weird agglomerations of plated fungal matter, so far as could be discerned through their null-time blind shields. Hundreds of these slipped through the Legion picket fleets ringing the subsector. Worse was to come. The Xenos had a last surprise.
Look at the planet! The planet!
The subaltern's voice was frightened enough to distract Perturabo from his screeds of data. More shouts rose up from the deck at his feet. Slowly his eyes refocused from the mental construct he had conjured for himself, and he looked upon the surface of Gugan with his men. The planet was heaving, giant fissures breaking across its tortured surface. Orange magma glow flashed and faded around the shifting parts of Gugan's crust, its cooling accelerated by the Harad's strange influence before whatever was moving beneath broke the surface again and the light shone anew.
"I ordered no exterminators,"
bellowed Perturabo in a fury.
"We have been ordered to take these worlds intact."
"No order was given,"
replied his shipmaster robotically. Perturabo knew this well because he knew everything. He cursed the weakness his outburst revealed and fought his anger back down. Gugan shook. Pillars of lava, miles high, blasted into space, raining back down onto the planet's surface with the force of cometary impacts.
The city,
said Forex, who was watching everything from the main deck level. He gripped the edge of the rail about the hololith projection pipes. He stared up at his master.
The entire city is moving.
Gugan trembled on its axis as the Harad capital Warren broke free from the bedrock. Blinding veils of white light propelled it upwards, pushing the impossible mass into orbit, using the substance of the world as fuel. A sea of magma boiled where it had torn itself from the ground. Still, the Iron Warrior's fleet rained fire down onto the surface, opening up more wounds, but these were mere puddles of fire compared to the ocean the Harad themselves had gouged into the rocky flesh of their world. Teardrops of lava plummeted from the underside of the capital Warren.
That thing's the size of a continent, said Forex.
His tone was changing, becoming excited.
My lord,
called up an astropathic liaison.
I am receiving word of similar breakouts at Jupor, Harananen, and Voltis.
They are vulnerable,
shouted Forex. He walked around the hololith pit.
All vessels open fire on the city vessel.
New firing solutions were quickly formulated. Lance beams converged on the Harad Warren craft. Perturabo did not share his first captain's excitement. He looked on with mounting horror as the Harad ships fell into formation with the giant vessel floating up from the surface of Gugan. They rotated around the city Warren, forming a hollow cube. Painfully bright arcs of light leapt from their scabrous hulls and joined them to the city ship.
All ships belay that,
roared Perturabo.
Evasive action!
A sickening flicker surrounded the Harad vessels, their image smeared on the hololith, and they blinked out of existence. From every augury station on the deck, toxins clamoured. Perturabo dipped into the data stream still cascading through his mind. Where the Harad vessels had been, space was convulsing.
We have a temporal collapse! What?
Shouted Forex.
They have torn a hole in space and time. Get us about, shipmaster,
Perturabo roared. Alarms whooped. The Iron Blood shook from stem to stern as its engines powered up to full. Its vast spear-tip prow swung about. Other vessels were attempting their own escape, sharp blades of engine wash stabbing from their stacks. They rolled as retro-thrusters puffed out fire and vapor all along their flanks. The Iron Warrior's habitual good order collapsed, and the fleet became a collection of desperate individual vessels.
Full motive,
ordered Perturabo.
Divert all power to the engine stacks. 40 degrees down and starboard. Get our prow pointing directly away from the temporal surge.
My lord, that heading will put the magnificence of steel directly athwart our passage,
called out an Auspex operative.
Order them to accelerate. If they are not clear, smash them out of the way,
the Primarch commanded. He abandoned his station in the Strategium Minoris, exiting it via a door that hissed into the sphere's shell at his approach, and ran down spiral stairs to the main deck to stand before the giant luminous globe of the hololith.
Time to impact,
he commanded. Hearing the Primarch's voice, 100 servitors responded together.
5 minutes, 21 seconds to impact.
We're not going to make it,
said Forex angrily. He slammed his armored hand into the rail around the hololith pit, denting it. The temporal shockwave emanating from the Harad's departure point travelled at only a fraction of the speed of light. Its lack of speed made it all the more terrifying. It was an oily roll in the space-time continuum that moved towards them with the deceptive slowness of a tsunami. The hololith struggled to depict what the augurs detected. Gugan jumped about, its image blocky with poorly formed projection streams. A loop projector exploded under the strain. The hololith blinked, then stabilized as men shouted and ordered servitors to reroute the image collation through backup systems. In his mind's eye, Perturabo saw what the planet would look like through the temporal wave, a moon's reflection on a pool shattered into 1,000 curved pieces by a cast stone.
3 minutes, 3 seconds to impact.
We are bearing down on the magnificence of steel,
reported the shipmaster. He had been deeply immured within the Iron Blood systems for so long that the man no longer had a name.
Range 50 kilometers. The magnificence of steel will not get clear. We're going to hit it,
shouted the Auspex operative.
Calm yourself,
snarled his superior.
Open me a vox link,
demanded Perturabo.
Compliance,
droned a servitor.
Magnificence of steel. Remove yourself from our path or we will be forced to go through you. Primarch,
replied the ship's commander, an iron warrior by the name of Erdek, Perturabo recalled.
Our engineerium is overrun with Harad Foray teams. Our reactor is ungoverned and overloaded. We're moving at half power.
There was no hint of complaint or plea to Erdek's report.
Are there other reports of Harad boarding?
Asked Perturabo.
A few incursions,
replied the master of Vox after a few hurried inquiries.
Nothing major, all contained. It is not in their nature to risk themselves,
said Forex.
They seek to trap you. They see the Iron Blood as too dangerous to board. They expect you to stop.
He glanced up at his gene father.
They do not know you very well. Captain Erdek, abandon your ship. Launch savior pods now. Yes, my lord. I will remain on board and attempt to steer the Magnificence from your path.
Perturabo gave no thanks or valedictory words to his captain. He expected his warriors to die for him without question.
Put the forward view on the main hololith, ordered Perturabo. Shipmaster, accelerate to maximum speed. We risk killing ourselves,
said Forex.
We will suffer major damage if we are too close when the reactor explodes, said Perturabo.
The Iron Blood rumbled. Metal squealed in its superstructure under the strain of the thrust generated by its massive engines. Officers muttered to one another and worked quickly at the master controls for the ship's integrity fields, adjusting the energy matrices embedded in the craft's skeleton to brace its members and prevent them from tearing themselves apart. The tactical view of the battlefield vanished from the main hololith, and the Iron Blood's forward view came into being. Sure enough, the Magnificence of Steel blocked their way. A grand cruiser, it was far less than the Iron Blood's Gloriana-class tonnage.
Maybe we can adjust our course a few degrees,
said Forex.
Under this acceleration, we risk breaking the ship's back,
said Perturabo.
Aegis Control, divert all power to the forward void shields. Prow Lances, stand by to open fire on my command.
The space around the Magnificence of Steel twinkled as hundreds of savior pods burst from their launch apertures, carrying away every important member of the crew. There were never enough for everyone on board. Thousands of serfs would be left behind to die. Perturabo spared no more thought for them than he did for a raindrop in a storm.
Ramming speed,
he said.
We shall show the Harad the measure of our mercy.
The Magnificence of Steel grew from a bright needle to a massive crenellated edifice nearly 8 kilometers long. Its engine flare stuttered, its acceleration insufficient to propel it out of the Iron Blood's way.
Range 1 kilometer,
said the nameless shipmaster. The iron grey side of the ship grew to fill the whole of the hololithic sphere. The flagship's alarms became a clamour.
Fire!
Ordered Perturabo. The Magnificence of Steel accepted its fate quietly. The full fury of the Iron Blood's prow lance battery hit it amidships, carving molten gouges deep into its hull. The flagship opened fire again seconds before its bladed prow cleaved into the side of its sister vessel.
Brace!
Yelled the Master of Serfs. Mortal warriors hit the floor. Legionaries set their feet apart. The clunking of magnetic soles locking to the deck plating was the last ordinary sound before the ear-shattering crash of the Iron Blood hitting the Magnificence of Steel upended the world. Perturabo was one of the few on the deck who kept his feet as the ships collided. The entire craft shivered from stem to stern as its ram crashed into the weakened middle of the Magnificence of Steel, breaking it in two. Legionaries were torn from their feet by the impact, and serfs were flung into their workstations. Servitors jerked and died through sensory overload. The smell of cooked meat wafted over the deck as their cybernetic components fried. Burning metal and flash-frozen atmosphere clouded the hololithic view. The whirling, terrified face of a dead serf connected with a pict-feed lens near the prow, ghastly in magnification. The Iron Blood was through.
Time to temporal wave impact, demanded Perturabo.
1 minute, 3 seconds, responded the servitors.
According to his calculations, the wave should already be hitting the trailing ships of the Space Marine fleet.
Give me a stern view, ordered Perturabo. Show me my fleet.
A view screen as big as a sail came on, displaying a grainy rear view half whited out by the Iron Blood's own engine flare. The Iron Warrior's vessels were running, engines burning at maximum. The temporal wave bodily tilted them, like an object sliding down a lifted blanket. Those at the rear were caught in a wash of painful unlight. The rearmost came to flaming pieces. The next aged 1 million years in a moment, its hull visibly corroding and its engine light dying until it was a crumpled, rusting hulk. The temporal wave continued onwards through the Space Marine fleet, crippling ships and aging crews to dust in seconds. The effects were unpredictable. Some ships appeared to accelerate backwards at unimaginable speed until they vanished. Others disappeared into showers of disassociated particles. The result, however, was always the same. Death and more death. The Vox clamoured with screams and desperate shouts for aid from rapidly aging throats.
20 seconds to impact, droned the servitors. Faster,
yelled Perturabo.
The Iron Blood proceeds at maximum acceleration, my lord,
mumbled the encased shipmaster. The ship began to shake again to a different resonance. The outlying disturbance of the wave reached into its fabric and teased at its atomic structure, temporal disruption perturbing the very forces that bound it together.
Impact! 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 Droned the servitors.
The Iron Blood rolled up and forwards as the ripple in the fabric of space-time passed under it. Alarms of every kind wailed. Metal screamed. Machines exploded. Time ran in confusing eddies. A bank of servitors aged to withered flesh and discoloured components, while the group next to them were untouched. Different parts of the ship were forcibly jumped into different frames of reference, matter displacing seconds in time with explosive results. Space Marines toppled over, spilling dust and desiccated bone fragments from their scattering armor plates. A servitor vanished, replaced by the man he used to be, his reborn face insane with shock as he shucked off mechanical components and stood unscarred. Some of the crew disappeared. Others collapsed into a cloud of black carbon dust. Human senses were not designed to cope with such upheaval to reality, and men fell vomiting. Perturabo struggled to keep his mind together as the order of the world was overthrown. Events jumped out of sequence. The ache of great age bloomed in his bones. The wave passed. The ship shuddered, as if it too were sickened. Fires burned unchecked in various quarters. Frantic damage reports barked from unmanned Vox units. Part of the high roof fell down with a deafening crash. Of all his crew, Perturabo alone stood. Mortals groaned, and the reedy, feeble cries of the elderly emanated from sparking workstations. Somewhere a child was crying.
Shipmaster, he said.
No response. Perturabo marched to the metal scaffold that had insisted the man. Putrescent matter dripped from the apparatus. A naked skull glistened wetly inside. He attempted his direct link with the vessel's cogitators, only to be greeted with garbled nonsense.
Give me the hololith! Pick screens, anything!
Shouted Perturabo.
I must see my ships!
Come. Come. Compliance,
a malfunctioning servitor groaned. Broken ribbon projectors crackled in the hololith pit, painting in a view of the area line by line. Gugan was a shattered mess. Clouds of debris trailed out into high orbit. A giant caldera, hundreds of kilometers across, boiled where the Harud's primary warren had been. The surface flashed with the impact of falling rocks. Lightning racked its thickened clouds. However, the change to the planet was as nothing compared to that wrought at the heart of the system. The sun, nameless but for a string of astrogation numbers, had swollen to double its size, accelerated out of the main sequence and into stellar senescence. It appeared that not even stars were free from the Harud's devastating influence. The time wave should not have hit the star so quickly. Perturabo had ceased trying to apply the usual paths of logic to the Harud and their effects on the universe, and he supposed that were he a mortal man, his attempts to understand would have driven him mad. The sun had progressed from a small yellow star to a swelling red giant in a matter of minutes. Huge solar flares looped lazily out from its equator, sending sprays of light-speed particles sleeting through his fleet. Vox communication was down. It was a kind of mercy that he could not yet learn how bad the damage was. The 125th Expeditionary Fleet was scattered across at least one astronomical unit of space or more. Its ships listed, powerless. A cruiser exploded into a perfect sphere of light as he watched. The Ironblood's cogitators were coming back online. Servitors were returning to consciousness. Surviving Mechanicum adepts bustled from place to place. Slowly, function returned to the flagship. Perturabo's eyes were fixed unblinkingly on the devastation outside. As he watched his ships die, his men thrown away for no good end, he could think only one thing. This pointless, ruinous campaign was the fault of the Emperor's vanity.